So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So this week, then, we are thinking about getting involved in work with young people. And I think probably, for the sake of argument, we could say young people involves those between the ages of 0 to 18, although I have read that the brain doesn't fully mature until the age of 25, so we could be thinking of young people in those terms, not to offend anybody. So as I was thinking about this, I wrote down all the ways in which we as a church are involved in working with young people, and they are as follows. So there is a toddler group on a Wednesday and a Thursday from 10 till 11:30. There is toddler praise on alternate Fridays, and then on the Fridays in between there is bumps and babies, where mums who are pregnant can come or who've got babies between 0 and 12 months. There's toddlers at the Orbit every Tuesday. There are our all-in services once a month. There are our Sunday children's groups, of which I believe there are 3 different groups, and they happen 3 weeks out of the 4. There's Pathfinders every Thursday evening for the youth. There's our Explore family service in the afternoon once a month. There's Open the Book, which happens in the school once a month with a group of people who go along and read the story. There's the puppets with Tony and with Jan. There's Caroline, who goes into the schools and does her origami, hanging around in the playground, making friends, doing fantastic things, building relationships every week. There's governor involvement. There's Experience Harvest and Experience Easter, where we invite children to come into the church. Caroline sets up all of these stations and we teach the children about the different Bible stories. There's the crib service that happens at Christmas. And there are Christmas services where children come into school and Caroline and Tim and Claire talk to them about Christmas. And there's youth camp, where Caroline and I think it was Carol took some children away on camp last year. Now, for each of those activities, there's prep and there's planning to be done. Volunteers to be organised, rotas to be created. Often there are refreshments and sometimes there's a meal. It's quite a lot when you think about it. For each activity that I've witnessed or that I'm a part of, the thing that stands out to me is the love and the dedication that runs through the entire process. And the care of the children is at the centre of everything that's planned. But also, much of the time, the care of the adults is at the centre of everything that's planned. We're not only ministering to children a lot of the time, we're ministering to their adults as well. And most of the adults who attend these activities throughout the week are not Christians. Many of these families are having their first taste of Christianity at Explore, or at Toddler Praise, or at the All-In Services, or at Pathfinders. For many of the children in the school, it's the only Christian assembly that they will get. And it's quite a responsibility too, as those involved are dealing with real lives, and real lives can be quite messy. As Claire and Caroline and the volunteers get to know the children and the families, they start to build loving relationships. They start to build trust, and both the children and the adults open up to them, sharing their happy times and their trials. And this is both an exhilarating experience, but also exhausting at the same time. So why do they do it? Why do they put on all of these activities? What is the point? Most of those people who are involved, most of you who are involved, have got grown-up children. Some of you have got grandchildren. You've done your time. I've heard it twice this morning. I've done my time with the children. That's it. Well, here's why I think they do it. Because as Christians, because of children of God, those of us who have received God's Spirit, they're fulfilling the command to love one another. But for them, I don't think it's a command. For them, I think it's an outworking of their Christian faith, of their love for Jesus being shown and shared with those around them who don't yet know the love of Christ and are being taught about that love. So let's have a look at our psalm reading that Doug read, and let's see what it has to say about young people. Psalm 145 is a psalm of David, so let's listen to those verses again. And it says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your glorious work, wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. So David begins the psalm by speaking personally about lifting the name of the Lord on high, praising God his King forever and ever. And he says that he's going to do this every day. And he uses that word, extol, again, that we had 2 weeks ago, well, 4 weeks ago when we thought about worship. Extol means praising enthusiastically, waxing lyrical about, raving about, and praising to the skies. And as we get to verse 4, he says that the Lord is so great that each generation tells of his mighty acts. In the New Living Translation, it says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. And he then goes on to explain how they do this, how they, one generation, tell their children, another generation, of God's mighty acts. He says, they speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. They tell of the power of your awesome works. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. They speak, they tell, they celebrate, they joyfully sing. As a church, it is our responsibility to tell the good news to the next generation, to the young people in our society. And David is clear that this, in general, is a role that all of us need to fulfill. We need to ensure that we pass on the good news through the generations, telling our children, telling our grandchildren, passing it on. Now, for some of us, that might also mean teaching children who are not directly in our family, but are in our church family. For example, the all-in services, where we involve the children as well. For others, that might mean helping on a Sunday morning in the children's groups as we care for one another's children. It might mean helping at the Pathfinders youth group or the school assemblies where other children with no faith background can be shown the love of Jesus along with a Bible story. It could mean working with a whole family at Explore where we celebrate together, sing together, learn together, just as the psalm has been saying. Even at toddlers, there are opportunities for faith to be discussed, especially at toddler praise. I mostly speak to mums at toddlers who are lost and hurting, who want the best for their children and recognise that church might just offer that. Often for them, baptism is the first step, and they don't really know why it's a baptism. They don't really understand, but they know that there's something peaceful and loving and wholesome about that, and they are drawn into it. You see, this generation are no longer in the post-Christian era. I think they're in the non-Christian era. Since World War II, there have been at least two generations who simply don't go to church, don't read the Bible, don't hear about God. They don't know hymns, they don't know the Lord's Prayer. It's pretty evident when you take a baptism or take a funeral or go to a wedding that nobody knows the words. My parents went to Sunday school. They were sent by my grandparents. They went on their own on a Sunday morning. I don't know if that was usual, but they hated it so much that they decided as adults that they weren't going to go to church. And so I didn't go to church, didn't grow up in a Christian background. Nobody spoke to me about faith. I didn't grow up having that next generation being told. So I didn't hear the good news until I was 28. But when I heard the good news, I accepted it with open arms. Somebody told me the truth about Jesus, and I was ready to accept it. Our teenagers, Not many of them in the church, but our teenagers are in a minority if they've grown up in a church or in a church family. They're going to school with many, many children who don't have a faith. Most children don't really know who Jesus is or what he did. And they don't even have a chance to be atheists because they don't even have that argument or that discussion. They couldn't tell you about God, so they couldn't be an atheist. When you speak to young adults in their 20s, the fact is that they've never really thought about God. No one shared with them the love of Jesus or the relationship on offer. And society has changed so much in the last 60 years. Christian values and ways of living are becoming a thing of the past. Children and young people are confused about who they are, confused about what their purpose is and where they're headed. They've got no biblical grounding. They've got nothing to base their reason for existing on. And they're so caught up in a world of impossible expectations, often many of them suffering with mental health problems, and no real answers. But the thing is, God is the answer. And we have the good news, and we can share it with them. Young people are the future of Christianity, the future of the church. And that's why we get them up here once a month for All In. That's why we get them to see that they are valued, that they've got gifts and they've got talents, things that can be used, things that we can celebrate with them. People like Claire and Caroline and Jan, who spoke this morning, are making a really wonderful difference to the lives of young people and their adults. So maybe this morning you feel that you could make a difference too. Perhaps God's been nudging you, but you're a little bit afraid. But Claire and Caroline would both dearly love more volunteers. Claire needs people at Toddlers to help by just being a presence, to chat to mums, to chat to grandparents, to be there to listen to these young mums that are so desperate to just offload. Caroline needs volunteers on a Sunday morning, not to lead necessarily, but to come alongside the leaders and to just join in and participate in the lives of those children. Now, I'll be honest, I'll put my hands up. I was a teacher for 20 years, and doing children's work felt like a busman's holiday, and I hated it. I hated it when it was my week. I couldn't wait for my children not to go to youth groups anymore or to the children's groups, so I had an excuse not to help. But then, when we moved from the Baptist church and I started training, every church we went to had no children's work. And I tell you, boy, I missed it. There was no work for my children to go to, and they missed it. And when I came here, the first week I came here, we just came to kind of view the church. I hadn't said yes to curacy. We just came to view it, and it just happened to be an all-in service. And I was blown away. Because out of all the churches I've ever been to, this was the best all-in service that I had ever seen. And honestly, it's so much better than a lot of them. And the children were involved, and it was fun, and it was innovative, and there was activities, and there was drama, and there was singing, and the children were praying. And I just thought that was amazing. And as much as I felt like I'd done children when I came here, it wasn't long before God was nudging me. And it wasn't long before I got involved. And it wasn't long before I realized what an absolute blessing it is to be involved. And then I became a governor, and now I'm going to be roped into doing assemblies again. Another busman's holiday. But the truth is, if we don't tell these children the good news, then who's going to tell them the good news? Where are they going to hear it from? It's all of our responsibilities, whether that's getting directly involved or whether that's saying to the leaders, you are doing a fantastic job, or whether that's regularly having those children in our church in your prayers and praying for them by name, praying that they would know their gifts and talents and that God would use them, praying for them to grow up into these mighty people of God. They are the future of our church. In 20 years' time, we're going to look very different. So I'm going to invite the band to come up to play. And I'm going to pray for us all. And I think during these songs, it might just be a time to reflect a time to reflect on the wonderful work that's going on in this church and how blessed we are to have these ladies working for us, but also a massive amount of volunteers who come along to these different activities and give of their time and give of their love. So maybe it's just time to thank God for them. Or maybe God is saying, hey, you know, you might think about taking that up again. You might think about just turning up to toddlers and being a presence. You might think about just having a chat to one of those mums or coming to explore and sitting and having a meal with a family who are finding out about you.